I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin, drifts away. I'd rather have Jesus.
Feel that way this morning. We'll go ahead and take our prayer request this morning and ask Brother Terry, if he don't mind again, to come and pray over these. This is from Brother Curtis Hunnell. Please pray as I need healing. I'm believing for a well body. Brother Baker has a testimony. He wants to thank the Lord for watching over him. He was putting buggies back in the store and a driver hit the buggies at a pretty good speed. God kept him from a bad accident or even death. Praise him for his kindness. Appreciate that. Brother Bobby Hayton says we requested prayer for Brother Joe Julian. He had open heart surgery on Thursday. He's done so well, he'll be going home on Tuesday. Doctors are amazed. Thanks for prayers of the church. Also, our son Jonathan's surgery went very well. They're just really thankful. Praise the Lord for that. Request prayer for Sister Anna Altman for healing of a concussion and neck injury. Also, let's remember Ruth Garland. She fell, broke her wrist. So let's remember her. Randy Babb and his grandson Lane, both sick at home this morning. Also, Ian Adkins, Caleb's boy Ian's really sick. Brother Gene turned that in. Let's remember Ian this morning. And then a list of a prayer list someone sent in, just multiple requests here. Raquel Manuel Luna, 6 months pregnant. They just called and let her know that she has gestational diabetes. She's also anemic. Just asked that she's really scared and asked for prayers for that situation. Gary Manuel has cancer. He's waiting on blood tests to see if they got all the cancer. Also, just an unspoken request for Deborah Milam, the Swafford family. Also for Bob Bridges, who has cancer. And then a little testimony, May Manuel made it through her heart surgery and is doing good. Doctor still wants her to have a pacemaker because her heart's slowing down. Pray that her heart rate will pick back up. And they just thank the Lord for what he's done already in that situation. So let's stand this morning if we could. I know we had a lot of requests last night, a lot of people from the church out with flu and other sickness. Let's just remember those. Brother Terry comes this morning.
It's good to be back in church this morning. Let's join our faith together once again as we ask God to meet the needs of these requests that's been mentioned. And God will bless this service. Let's invite his presence also. That's the main thing. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. The first thing we want to do, Father, is invite your presence into our midst. We want you, Lord, to take the uppermost seat, as it's been said so many times. And Father, truly, we want you to be here. We would have just a protracted meeting or just a gathering. It'd be no more than a lodge if you were not here. But truly, we invite the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what you mean to all born-again Christians. You are our King and you are our Lord. You're our Master. You're our Savior, our Redeemer. Lord, we thank you so much for these affirmations that have been brought to us recently. How that we can testify that I am redeemed, I am born again, I am saved, I am sanctified, I am filled with your Spirit. Lord, we want to have those positive thoughts in our mind, whatsoever things of good report. Think on these things. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the creation. Lord, I think about even Paul in Acts 17. He was in Mars Hills preaching up there, and he saw an inscription, and they had there the Athenians to the unknown God. He said, that unknown God I want to declare unto you. God, that same God, that the known God, he's made known to us today. He's been unveiled before us in this last generation. How happy we are, Lord, that that mighty God has been unveiled before us. He's not an unknown God anymore. He certainly has been known and is known by his bride. Lord, I pray you touch Sister Anna Altland. You know her condition, her need. Raise her up. Deliver her. Lord, that list of requests that was sent into the library, a list of prayer needs, I pray that you'll touch each one and bring deliverance to each one. And as we prayed last night, many have sick and flus and afflictions of many sorts and different bugs and diseases going around. God, I just trust that you'll deliver your children tonight, this morning rather. Lord, and give deliverance and those outside the ark of safety, our loved ones that have not been saved, truly, Lord, brood over them and bring them in. You're not, you are a gentleman. You don't force yourself on anyone. But Lord, may they somehow recognize the hour is late and the time is drawing nigh and the sun is setting and this generation is just about completed. Lord, we can see the signs of the time everywhere. Lord, may each one wake up, and those that have truly been born into the kingdom of God, may we draw closer and nigh unto thee. We ask that you'd anoint our pastor this morning. Lord, give him the words of eternal life to speak to us, that we might be enthused and have a greater desire and a zeal for the work of God, the love of God. Lord, support the work and pray for our leaders, our spiritual leaders, our pastor, and Lord, the deacons and the trustees and the members and for the church body, the bride around the world, the many things that we need to pray for. We're living in such perilous times, but we're living in a glorious time. We're happy to be in church. Meet our needs. Lord, we worship you this morning. We ask that you would give us grace one more time. Come with us and speak to our hearts through the word. We ask as we worship you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You can be seated this morning.
When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. And I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. I will pray like Daniel prayed. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. I will pray like Daniel prayed. I will pray. I'm gonna pray like Daniel prayed.
Let's sing that this morning.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights someday, every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table and a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurt. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table and a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table. Stand my faith on heaven's table and a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Brothers would like to come. Let the brothers come lift the offering at this time, and we have just a couple of announcements. This is the final announcement for the kids that are going to Louisiana camp. Anybody from our church who is going to Louisiana camp on the bus needs to sign up by today. This turned in last night, said tomorrow, but today. Anybody planning on going to Louisiana youth camp, riding the bus, needs to sign up today. Today is the last day. And also we have the announcement for Sister Aretha Arnold's mother's funeral services. It's going to be tomorrow, Monday, the 28th. The viewing is from 5 to 7:30 p.m. It's at the Carter Trent Funeral Home in Church Hill. The funeral service will begin at 7:30. Again, that's tomorrow night. And I'm going to ask Brother David Swanson. He had a song for us. He'll come and be getting ready to sing. And we'll sing that so you would know if we sang this last night, but we got a request from somebody that don't get to be here very much, and we'll just sing this again as they're finishing with the offering there.
How many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. You were weary from life's journey. Didn't my angels carry you so you would know much I love you. How many days must I build a fence around you? How many nights must I wipe your tears away? How many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning and you were clothed in your right mind? Didn't you walk right in your closet? And each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you?
I thought about singing this last night when Brother Donnie was quoting how Brother Branham said, I'm going to say these words and then you pray them. And I thought about the Lord's Prayer, how the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I can imagine him saying the same things. Now I'm going to say these words. I want you to pray them. Should really be called the Believer's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the Amen.
poor family. I'll be trying to do that all week. It won't be pretty. Let's stand. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's sing Fill My Cup, Lord. That's what we should be here for this morning.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Once again, all of our hearts.
Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench of my soul. Oh, bread. Won't you feed me till I want no more? Fill it up and make me whole.
Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. How blessed we are to have a loving Father to be able to fill our cup today, aren't we? Well, Tracy, good to see you today, buddy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering.
Amen.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now that may sound very easy, but it's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do. Under strain, stress, pressure, difficulty, circumstances beyond your control, to keep from wavering. Listen again now. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And he believes that with all your heart. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you today, Father. Well, we believe these things that we have read are the truth. We know that there's no flaw, no shortcoming in your part of this. It's always us that are flawed and us that has the human error. But Lord, we're looking to you today to teach us those things which we have need of, to make us the type of people that you want us to be. Father, we desire that our profession can be is exactly as has been described to us today. Even though this passage was written almost 2,000 years ago now. But yet, dear God, we believe that it is an attainable promise that we as your children can be able to have in our possession. Not just in a literary standpoint, that we would pack it under our arms in a Bible, or that we would even post it on a post-it note and stick it somewhere. But yet, Lord, that it would be a reality within us. For we don't want these things to be just mere knowledge, but we want it to be something that transfers into a life. Speak to us today from your word today, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on Hold Fast, Our Profession. Let me start immediately and share a few things with you about yourself. We want to look at the law of repetition and how your mind actually works as a human. Repetition is the secret to developing a powerful belief. And the more powerful your belief, the more powerful your results will be, negative or positive. All changes in your beliefs, especially limiting beliefs, take place upon the application of the law of repetition. Now listen how simple this is, and yet how powerful and profound the results can be in our lives. How often do you tell yourself and try to convince yourself that you can accept change, only to find yourself readily get stuck in past memories, frameworks, and schemas? Now you think in our lives, how many times have we made up in our mind, I'm going to quit this, I'm going to be better, I'm going to do this and that and the other, with real good intentions, strong motives, strong objectives, and feeling like that with the right type of motive, the right type of objective, and even approaching it with a sincere hope, not a faith, but a sincere hope that it will come to pass, and yet within a week or a month or 6 months or whatever, we find ourselves in the same shape, if not worse, because something happened. And then Satan will always turn it around and say, well, you're not ordained, you're not bride, you're not predestinated. It works for this one, that one, that one, but it doesn't work for you. To try to put the fault or the blame over on God or God's word or God's ministry, well, it's the preacher's fault. If the preacher had never preached this and you hadn't tried it, you wouldn't have made such a mess up in your life. But you realize he has learned how to use these terms and coin these terms in such a way. And by doing that, he'll repeat it over and over and over again. By repeating our mistakes, by repeating our past, by repeating our failures, by repeating how many times you've done this wrong and asked God to forgive you. And you've repented and asked God to forgive you, and you went out and done it again, and you asked God to forgive and you went out and done it again. Don't you understand he knows the law of repetition on a human being? How many times have you been prayed for this certain thing? How many times have you went before God, oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please heal me. And you're worse now than you've ever been before. And he's learned the law of repetition, what it does to a human mind. But guess what, devil? Now we're learning it. We see what you've done when you've learned it. Now stand back and see what we're going to do when we learn it. He causes havoc. He causes all kinds of trouble. But when we learn the principles of God, we bring deliverance. We bring power. The prophet said it's the army of the devil to put sickness on the people of God, but it's up to the army of God to take it off. Hallelujah. Watch this. Until you make the changes at the subconscious level, those changes will not stay in place. Your deep subconscious is the very place where change happens. When you have a better understanding of the brain's inner workings, the subconscious, you stand a better chance to develop a skill set or change a belief system that enable you to make lasting changes in your brain. Now don't sit there and look at me like this don't affect you. If you've got a brain, this affects you. Of course, if your brain dead, go ahead and leave, because it won't have no effect on you. But everybody else, this is going to affect you. You say, I'm a Christian. You still got a brain, ain't you? Oh, but Brother Donnie, I'm bride. You still got a subconscious, don't you? Like finding a person. Now notice, a person finding a well-worn path through a meadow. This is a very simple illustration, but I really like the way this doctor describes this. Finding a well-worn path through a meadow, each thought, feeling, and behavior is associated with the path
through your brain. Now watch how a well-born past can be in our behavior and tendencies that we have. Would you choose to take the established past, or would you plow through the field to create a new one? Most people would choose the past already there. And notice, it's much easier and less work. So most of us are negative, we're down, we've got all these things. That's the well-worn path, and believe me, we have wore it out. My, it takes no great big difficulty to walk through there. Many of us can walk through our unbelief with our eyes closed. And they are literally closed and spiritually as well many times. And we can go through there. We've been down that same old way. Your wife knows it. Your kids know it. Everybody else around you know it. When you get in that down mode, what you're going to do? They know that certain little wrinkle in your lip and that little twinge in your eye. And they know, oh no, here we go. He's fixing to do it again. Why? You're leading them down the same well-worn path that your daddy led you down. Or that old negative preacher that you sat under for so many years. And now you're going the same way and you're leading your children. Friends, many of you would kill a man if he broke in your house and he would try to harm your children. And many of you are doing more damage to your children than any robber that would ever enter in. You're setting them down negativity. You're setting them down absolute anti-word, anti-ministry, anti-church, anti-Christ, anti-God. And yet if anybody squeaked that close to hitting you this evening going through a drive-through, you'll jump out. Don't you understand? My family's in this car. You about hit my family. And you feeding them all kinds of trash. Well, glory. Y'all going to preach with me or look at me? Now, it's entirely up to you. I'm going to preach either way, but it's just up to you all, whichever way y'all go. Now, watch this, how we are as human beings. Your brain does the same thing. It is more likely to engage in familiar patterns rather than try new ones. The flow of energy through the brain tends to go through established paths and circuits, which partly makes our minds appear stable and predictable. But we're stable in negativity. Some of you are so stable, but you're so defeated. But it feels more stable. It feels more secure because it's a well-worn path. Remember whenever the man has a dream, and Brother Bam interprets it in 1962, and in the dream he sees cattle. And the cattle are going down a well-worn path, and Brother Bam here, he said he interpreted that, and he said it shows that people will tend to go the easier way. Now we all do that. And we do it in the subconscious so much that we probably don't even think it. We don't even realize. We think, oh my, I'm a sacrificer. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to reach out. It would probably scare us of how many well-worn paths are in our lives, and we think we're such conquerors. What's this? Throughout your life, your brain will always find it easier, but not unavoidable, to go back to the earliest patterns of operating in the world. Your experiences shape how your brain will grow. My Lord. Therefore, any plan you want to follow to be happier, successful, and more fulfilling must also address the pathways in your brain in order to have lasting success. So some of y'all probably feel like I did. I kept looking for a brain donor whenever I read these. You know, somebody about 3 years old. Something about three, where I could, you know, yeah, mom, I think I'd be better off to start with that guy than I would this hard-headed fella right here. Woo, boy. You think of all that's in us and all the well-worn paths and all the sarcasm and all the negativity and all the things that's in us and my so buried in our subconscious that we don't even realize it. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to walk down steps once you learned them? As a child, you struggled, as I did, with steps. And as your first conscience, you had to be able to come and realize, how does that rhythm work of going down a step? So you get down and slide down and slide down and slide down. That was easy, but getting back up, that's a different story. So then you have to get up and get up. And then you got up and you teetered and you finally learned how to get one. But there's a rhythm in going down them steps. You ever notice how right now you can just walk? You don't even look where you're going. Unless you begin to think about them steps. You ever notice how that you can go down a set of steps and all of a sudden you will switch from subconscious to conscious and you'll nearly fall? I did it the other day in my house. I know them steps. Don't sit there laughing and look at me, Brother Jim. It's the truth. You know them steps as well as you know the back of your hand. And as long as you commit it to subconscious, everything is fine. But you look down and go to thinking about it, and all of a sudden you take it from subconscious to conscious. And the subconscious said, what are you doing to me? Leave me alone. I know how to do this. Well, glory. Recent research by neuroscientists has confirmed that repetition is an important part of wiring the brain. What I want to do today is help you folks rewire your brain. I'm going to hook up divine jumper cables. And hopefully put enough flow of energy through you that you're sick and tired of these well-worn paths that are leading you nowhere. Now watch this. The term wiring refers to the formation of synapses between the brain cells. Once wired together, the synapses fire together, strengthening and reinforcing their function. So you imagine now how complicated that it is. It's very, very simple in one sense of the word. All we do is just follow a repetition of pattern. You know, whether it's defeat, whether it's good things, bad things, whatever it is. And yet in our minds, something is taking place. We're making a pass. Then those cells will connect, those transmitters will connect. They will release certain things in our brains, certain chemicals that will come in with emotions attached to that. Then we are forming a pass. It will come as natural as it is for you to breathe. It will come as natural as it is for your heart to pump back and forth, back and forth. And you unconsciously do that. And yet when it comes to things in our life, whether it's good things or bad things, they can be developed exactly in the same way. And then one cell will connect with another, with another, with another. And here is the pattern of our lives. That's unfolded in a human being. And then we become born again. We become saved. And we left side drinking and smoking and running around. And people say, man, I'm a brand new person. Everything is totally, totally gone. But them worn paths in their head are still there. That's why some of you can go through Best Buy and hear the Bee Gees and Elvis and whoever them guys are today that make that racket called music. And all of a sudden, the memory comes back and you can remember yourself sitting somewhere smoking a cigarette hearing that song for the first time. Or drinking a beer, whatever. And you say, oh my God, oh, where'd that come from? It's buried deep within that worn past of your brain. Now, it does not mean from your soul that you desire to do that, but yet where? It's stored inside the supercomputer of your mind. Praise the Lord. And if you, as a human being, you learn and develop certain things about you, a certain way, you respond. Some people cannot take criticism, either constructive or bad in any way. And you look back and you realize maybe from a child, they had a parent or a teacher or a tutor or somebody that did not go about it in the right way. It instilled a reaction inside of them and the subconscious stored this in their mind. So anytime anybody says anything, whether they consider it to be constructive or not, in any negative way about what they are doing, the way they look, automatically they go in the defense mode and they get mad. But of course, now they got scriptures and quotes to back it up. Whew. Well, glory. Now watch this. Once wired together, the synapses fire together, strengthening and reinforcing their function. So I wonder if we could make some paths in through our brains Where that I'm chosen, I'm called, I'm elected, I'm forgiven, I'm his brother, I'm all of these things. And then whenever you'd hear it or read it, inside your brain is firing over here to that synopsis and firing to that one and firing to that one. And every time you pick up the Bible and read it or you see a church sign going by, it's firing inside of you. I wonder what kind of folks it would be that come to this church. Watch this. Without this repetition and use, the brain figures, the synopsis are dead and prunes them away. So consciously and continuously thinking, affirming. Notice, now whenever there's something there, a person can hear occasionally what Christ done for them, but they don't respond. They don't feed it within themselves. So the brain looks at that and it considers it dead. So the brain prunes it away and reverts back to the normal behavior. Just as I thought, I never have been no good. I never will be no good. I'm rotten. I'm sorry. Glory. Oh my. The more you affirm something through thought. Notice, the more you affirm something through thought. The stronger the wiring will be to support that which is desired. Man alive, I'd like my wires about that big around, wouldn't you? I want my wires of who I am to be so strong in the promise of His Word that no matter how I feel, what I go through, what I face, my wires will constantly send that divine synopsis. Not only reverberate in my soul, but thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Repetition will input habits in the nerve cells in your brain. This consequently governs your thoughts and behavior. That well-worn path in the meadow happened by people repeatedly walking it. The reason why repetition on positive thoughts is so powerful and necessary is that we live in a world where thoughts and images, oh listen to this, of lack and imagination are everywhere. It requires discipline of repetition to change your deepest thoughts and beliefs. There is a kind of strength achieved through the power of repeating oneself. Repetition, repetition, repetition. It works. It works. It works. Which probably means after I get this series done, I need to re-preach it. And then re-preach it again. And then if y'all didn't get it, re-preach again. Hey, it might be easier if we just play a tape of me saying it, you know. Now think of it, friends, how powerful then as a human being that God has so designed us that then we would take the Word and we would hear the Word and read the Word and listen to the Word. But if we do not think about what we have heard and we do not let it go through the paths in our mind and let the neurotransmitters of our brain release all these chemicals and associate that inside of us, we are still walking the well-worn path of defeat. Let's look at some more positive affirmations today, can we? Can you handle some more? I want to start with this one today. I can forgive others. You see, all of our inheritance ain't just about what we have. It's what we can do. I can forgive others. Boy, y'all done quiet on me now. Don't get quiet now. You're really tightening up after a little bit. Now watch this in Matthew chapter 6 verse 12. Jesus says, as our brother sang a while ago, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Can you all forgive? What about the rest of you? Now some people struggle with forgiveness. Some people, depending upon the hurt and the injury, they have a hard time in forgiving. If someone has embarrassed them or humiliated them or something like that, some folks really struggle. This is what you need to paste on your fridge. This is what you need to paste on your rear view mirror. So when you look into it, I can forgive. Right now, this morning, maybe you can't, but what you want to do is make a new path through the grass. Amen. You want to make a path through the meadow of your life instead of going over here to Grudge Avenue. Listen how serious this is. Verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Can't you see why Brother Bram said perfect faith then is based upon forgiveness? A person cannot have perfect faith and have grudges at the same time. Totally impossible. Now, can we as believers truly forget? Now, can we forget? Of course not. We don't have the ability to access the sea of forgetfulness. A person done wrong to us, in our mind, we may always remember it. But can we from our heart forgive that individual? Yes, we can, if we want to. But for many people, it is such a struggle. Some folks just cannot say, I'm sorry. Others can't say, I forgive you. And others can say it and don't mean it. Anybody that's been married very long, great words to learn how to say. I'm sorry, I forgive you, and please forgive me. It ought to be a requirement of every engaged couple, they say it 28,337 times per day before they get married. Forget about planting the flowers, forget about the tux, forget about the dress, learn how to say you're sorry. Come on now. But you realize, friend, that as a child of God, even though you may struggle, you can rewire your brain if people have treated you like dirt. Notice again now Jesus in Matthew 18:21. Now remember, this ain't Peter saying this. This is not a man. This is your husband. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. I mean, he's going to stretch beyond the bound of human reasoning. He's going plumb out into the universe of forgiveness. I'm going to reach for that perfect number. He gets himself ready. Seven times. I can't believe I said that. Seven times. You imagine him expecting accolades of praise from Jesus and boy, you're doing good, Peter. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. Until 70 times seven. Now pray tell me, what does all of our depth and our understanding in the message help us in this application? Which thunder is it that you'd use to help you do this? Which great mystery? How many years you been in the message? There's folks been in the years for 75 and 80 years if they live that long and still can't do these simple things. Because we don't think it's important. Now notice, but as a child of God, I can forgive. Listen to me carefully. I actually can forgive like God. Only can forgive those who ask me. I will forgive those who don't. Amen. Jesus did. Amen. You say a man can't do that. Don't tell poor old Stephen that because he thought he could. He's dying and he says, Lord Jesus, don't lay this to their charge. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But you see, friend, the well-worn path that you got when you was a five-year-old boy because your little sister told on you because you sneaked around and done this or that. And you started developing this behavioral patterns. And the synopsis in your brain started forming. And here you've been a Christian all these years, sitting there with that same old connection of those former synopsis, living under the auspices of the message of the hour. Whew. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Luke 6:37, judge not and be not judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Luke 17:3, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, don't never let him forget it. Remind him of it every time you see him. Forgive him. Forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, does this mean we're all going to be tried by this scripture this week? Be merciful to us, Lord. Watch this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Not mere human forgiveness, but in the very person of Christ himself. Now listen to this from Mayo Clinic. Brother Mike Price sent me this last week, I think it was. The effects of holding a grudge. If you're unforgiving, you might pay the price repeatedly by bringing anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience. Your life might become so wrapped up in the wrong that you cannot enjoy the present. You might become depressed or anxious. You might feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, or you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs. You might lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others by holding a grudge. So if I hold a grudge against any of you, then I've got to say a grudge against Brother David. Me and Brother David would have odds against something. I would hold a grudge against Brother David. And initially it'd be just me and Brother David, but that could outgrow that, and then I'd start feeling funny toward Brother Dow. And then toward Brother Rob, and then towards you, and towards you, and towards you. And yet the very cause of it was because I would not move beyond that grudge. What am I doing? I'm trotting down that well-worn path. I'm holding that grudge. I will not forgive. Now friends, so here suddenly you're looking at me this way today. The Lord God put this on my heart this morning. I plan on going another direction, starting some different things, but he put this on my heart today. You better listen to his word. Notice this. I can forgive. I can forgive. I can even do it in the person of Christ. I like this one here. I will not avenge myself. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I will not avenge myself. Am I at the right church this morning? Y'all look like my people, but the cat's got y'all's tongues. Notice now Paul brings the same thought in the New Testament, Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Brother Donnie, I don't avenge myself. Are you sure you know what the word means? This is a Greek word that Paul chose to use. Etikineo, to vindicate one's right. Do one justice, to protect or defend. It don't mean that you're waiting for somebody with a sniper rifle. Ready, ready, there he is. Boom. Avenging yourself is not going by with a pocket knife and slicing his tires. It's all the time going around trying to prove how right you are and how wrong they are. You're avenging yourself. You're walking down that well-worn path of avenging yourself instead of committing you and their situation and them to God and say, I ain't letting it stop me. I ain't letting it hinder me. I'm going on. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason I can do these things is because of this one. Because Christ died for me. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm not ungodly this morning, but I used to be. I used to be, so I am a recipient of the mercy of God, the grace of God. He forgave me when if he would have given me justice, he would have thrown me in hell. If he had given me what I deserved, it would have not have been mercy. It would not have been forgiveness. He would have cast me out of his sight, but Christ died for me. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while, listen, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because he died for me, I have been quickened or raised from the dead. I have been quickened from the dead. Not going to be. I am already. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Chapter 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. This is why if I've got the love of God and the love of God from God, forgive me. The love of God in me will forgive me and their trespasses against me. Whose trespasses would be the greatest? You to trespass against me or me to trespass against God? If you sin against me, I'm immortal. If you do wrong against me, I'm immortal. But I did wrong against the holy God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because I've been quickened from the dead, I have assurance. Blessed assurance. It ain't Obamacare. It ain't Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It come from a red cross covered with red blood on a red shield. Hallelujah to God. I have assurance. Amen. I have assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Not only do I have an assurance, I am an heir of God. So everything he has, I'm an heir to it. I may not get all the portion, but I will get my portion. I don't mind if you folks get some, I just want mine. I don't want it all. I couldn't handle all the healing. I'd blow up. I couldn't handle all the blessings. I'd blow up. I couldn't handle all of it, but I do want my part. Amen. I don't want yours or yours or yours, but I do want what the will says I can have. Amen. I'm an heir of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. My brother. My brother. My brother from last night. My brother. He and I are joint heirs. My mom and daddy passed away. My mama passed first and then daddy. Me being the executor of the will and having to watch over what little bit they left in life, I had to make sure that it was all taken care of. There was nothing taken out of the house and none of that. We had an auction by Neil Auction Company down in Albany, Kentucky. I was responsible to sign off on all the situations. Then see that money was properly divided among seven siblings. We were joint heirs together. Mom and daddy had put their burial up, all that sort of thing in my name. But it was not to go to me. They trusted me apparently. They believed that I would see that it would go to that way. It was not for me. Jesus died and rose again, not for himself. He came to this earth and lived a victorious life, not for himself. He was the executor of our will. He was responsible to see that the beneficiaries get their portion. Why is it? We'll fuss and fight and squabble over stinking money. And we'll let the thief steal from us out of this will. Now, how many of you, if you had a rich daddy, and he had 14 kids, and he had 14 million, and each child's going to get a million? And two of them said, we're taking it all. And all the rest of y'all would say, well, go ahead. I don't really want my million. You big fat liar. You'll throw the office fuss ever was if it's $100. Come on, don't sit there and look at me. Did they get a picture? Oh, he got an extra napkin. Oh my goodness, that flower pot, that comes off of daddy's front porch. I was supposed to have got that flower pot. People will fuss and argue. People fall out over their inheritance. They fall out over this and, well, he got 75 more cents than I got. And they'll lay the inheritance and the riches of eternal life laying there in that Bible. And many of them have no idea other than just being saved and God sent a prophet. That's about all they've learned all their Christian walk. I want to know what's mine. My mom and daddy was poor. Remember, they died. They didn't leave much behind. There wasn't much to divide and wasn't much to share. Even in that, folks still get mad. But I'm going to tell you something. When my Jesus came to this earth, he brought the riches of eternal life. He brought the riches of forgiveness. To me, forgiveness is a richness of God's character. Pardon and love and not holding a grudge. Because as human beings, it lays in our well-worn past to hold grudges and to get vengeance. But if you've tapped into the mercies of God and you've tapped into the will of God, God can help you with these great things. Lord Jesus. Notice this, if children, then heirs of God. Joint heirs. Me, Tammy, Harry, Cheryl, Kim, Trish, Jamie. All of us were joint heirs. Because I had to do the hard part, I had to go before the judge and do all that sort of thing. Just because I had to do the hard part, don't mean I got one more red cent than they got. Listen to this. My Lord Jesus done the hard part. Amen. He come to this earth out of his own strain and changed his strain to become a man. He went down into hell and took my place. He took my sins down there and unloaded them right in the gates of hell. And yet he comes back up and said, Paul, let them know I'm a joint heir with them. Let them know I am their inheritance and they are mine. Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Titus 3:7, of being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hebrews 1:4. All they are not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? And if I'm an heir, then that means I have an inheritance. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Don't get in your mind it's a house in the ridges. Don't get in your mind it's a Bentley and a BMW and a car so long. You got to have three sets of double hinges in order to get through the traffic light down here. That's the way a lot of folks in this age, they think, my, the blessings of God is more money and more this and more that. And God will supply our needs if we need money. He still does that. Him and Peter one day, their taxes was due in the IRS, and that day must have been pressing down their collar. And Jesus said, Peter, go fishing. Now, Jesus did not counterfeit that money, but apparently somebody had been fishing and reached over and the money fell out of the pocket or something. But he went down there and he had a safety deposit box down there in the belly of the fish. Amen. That safety deposit box went down there and Peter cast his line out through there, and that safety deposit box swallowed that hook, and that safety deposit box come to the top, and Peter opened his mouth, and that was a fish with money in his mouth to pay the IRS. So if you owe back taxes, maybe you should go fishing. Of course, I couldn't have dust because we don't believe that. I've told you before, friends, I've stood right there in the little sister's house, the sister in India, whose meal barrel did not go dry, nor did her cruse of oil go dry. Not 4,000 years ago in the Old Testament, but in this day, because that little sister believed God. Who knows where our economy's going to go? If Jesus could turn water into wine, what about turning water into gas if I need it? What about if oil gets so high I can't afford to buy it? He's still the mighty conqueror. But it don't do no good as long as it's just words on the page. It must be built into muscles of faith. Ephesians 1:11. I love this one. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's part of your inheritance, light. It's part of my inheritance. Oh, shit, Brother Donnie, I'm afraid we're going to run out of light. Don't worry about it. It's part of our inheritance. Brother Donnie, ain't you going to run out of things to preach? No, as long as I'm drawing the dividends on my inheritance, we won't never run out. Why? Because it is part of our inheritance. The light of this day is our inheritance. No weapon. No weapon will prosper against me. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Don't spend all of your time trying to counteract the weapons that Satan is doing out there. And this in person running you down. And this in person trying to throw mud on your name. Let them throw whatever mud. Oh my, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. But I know we can spend all of our time in doing all that sort of thing. And we go, my, the same old well-worn path of self-defense, self-defense, self-defense. Instead of standing around the Word and saying, my, let them go on. That was ordained before the foundation of the world to give me a little trial. Amen. And if you don't pass it, you got to go through it again. I only want to go through some of these things once. No weapon that's formed. Listen to me. If I'm a servant of God, if you're a child of God, if this church is of the Almighty God, no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. And anything that he in his divine providence allows to happen to me, it will even work out for my good, even though it's negative. You say, what if they come in here and arrest you and throw you in jail? Apparently there's a predestinated seed and I need to preach to. After I get him saved, maybe I'll get to come back and preach to you. No weapon! But do we think this way? No. We think all these weapons will prosper. They're so great. They're so big. They're so powerful. Well, the devil is a big God. Who are you serving, him or Jesus? Listen to this, friends. He will never leave me. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now believe me. Someone who has been left alone the way he was left alone can understand how important it is to not leave somebody else alone. Because you see, he will go beyond the way he was treated. Spirit God, the invisible spirit, pillar of fire, that great, great, omnipotent Father had to turn his back on him. Prophet said he couldn't look at him with that sin on him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. Jesus can truly say, I was left alone. The anointing left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had to die the death of a sinner. Though he never did any sin. But it was the death of a sinner by power of transfer. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made our sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him by the power of transfer. He died the death. Listen! He died the death of a sinner by the power of transfer. That I might, if I have to go by the way of the grave, that I might die the death of a righteous man. How? By power of transfer. That God took that life out of him and gave it back to me and you and the bride around the world. And whenever it comes our time to die, the angels won't run away from us. God won't turn his back on us. But he'll be standing right there at the River Jordan and say, come on over. God sent trials are for my good. Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God sent trials are for my good. Now, you may have to rearrange these post-it notes on your fridge according to what you're going through. You might need to rearrange them on your drive-thru mirror, on your mirror in the bathroom, and you get up and you get ready to brush some pretty teeth in the morning. One morning you might need one scripture. One morning you might need another positive affirmation. But I guarantee you there'll be times in your life you'll need this one. God sent trials are for my good. Not man-made trials now, not self-inflicted trials that I do myself, but God sent trials are for my good. I don't understand how he'll make this all work out, but he will make it work for my good. Notice James 1:12. James says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious. You're kidding me. When my faith is tried, it's worth more than gold. At the price gold is right now, man, that's really valuable. So you mean when God allows my faith to be tested, he considers me a billionaire? How come we don't look at it like that? The well-worn path. Well,
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it worked for everybody else. It don't never work for me. If there's one bad thing that comes across the slow boat from China, I'll always get it. Them Chinamen over there, they made this knowing I get it. They don't even know you live. If you'd only touch base with the rest of us, you'd just find most of us is getting that same junk from China that you're getting. You're not the only one that's getting a bad thing from Walmart and a bad thing from Lowe's. We're all getting it. Come on, children. But the devil wants to isolate you and make you think you're the only one. We've all got these well-worn paths in the wilderness of our minds. Lord of mercy. Notice, Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. So y'all need to add this little affirmation on the bottom of that one. I will rejoice when tried. I wouldn't figure y'all could handle this one yet. Maybe next week you might be up to it. I figured it just overwhelmed me this morning. Can we do it? As I was going through yesterday, the book of Matthew, when Jesus said, when they cast your name out as evil, rejoice and leap for joy. We have a hard time doing that because we're saved. Much less because folks is talking about us. You know why? The well-worn path. When we're going through trials, it's automatic in our subconscious. We put on the trial face. Let's everybody praise the Lord. Come on, let's everybody rally. Let's everybody. Your trial face. We've all got one. You know why? It's a well-worn path. It's just as automatic as it can be. And the thing of it is, some of you don't even know you got it. You ought to stand up here and look out. It's tough when a lot of your congregation come to church and you got a victory message and they're there with trial faces. Is he nuts? Don't he never go through nothing? When you get 3 or 4 months, come over and I'll tell you about some of the stuff I go through. Is he always on the mountaintop? Nope, but I don't let the devil know it. Don't he never have persecution from around the world? Don't people never talk about him from around the world? But that ain't going to hinder me, because my inheritance is not gossip. My inheritance is not backbiting. My inheritance is light and revelation and power and forgiveness. That's my inheritance. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let me find a place to stop if I can. He wants me to prosper. Third John chapter 1 verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Wow, wouldn't that be something in flu season? Is there anybody here that believes this scripture is still active? Anybody here believe that God wants you to be in health? Not just in rehab all the time, or in recovery all the time, but actually be in health. Well, Brother Donnie, I inherited such and such and so and so and so from my grandpa. I've done told to you, friends, even doctors have proven it. You have the ability to change your own cells. The things that you inherited, but it's got to begin not just in the soul. The power is in you if you've got the Holy Ghost to create a new world. But it won't never do it as long as this keeps going down the beaten path.
You got blood pressure problems, you need to take blood pressure pills, take them. Take them. You got chemical things in your body and they give you medicine for it, take it. But take it in the name of Jesus on a temporary basis. Don't assign to it the rest of your life. Well, I guess I'll always have to have this. Yeah, you will, as long as you always believe it down that well-worn path. Why not break out of the mold? But Brother Donnie, the Reagans have this and the Babs have that and the so-and-so have this. But you're children of God. You're children of the Creator. And when two omnipotents meet, nothing can stand in their way. But we just accept it. Let me give you an inside secret. You want to know one reason, friends, why that we can come to this place 3 times a week and still believe God will move? Because, for one thing, I believe our God is with us. And another thing, as the pastor of this church, I refuse to accept the fact that you have to become common to me, and I have to become common to you, and the Word has to become common to us, and we simply go through a ritual and a routine. I refuse to allow that as long as I'm here as the pastor. On my part, I believe every time we come together, we can have a good time in the Lord. But you know why a lot of people go that way? They expect their church to come to that. It'll be dead. Eventually, there'll be no more worship. Do you see what you're doing? You're expecting your own demise. Who's to say we can't have a move of the Holy Ghost every time we move to that door? You get what you expect.
Brother Donnie, are you preaching that we ain't never going to get the flu again? I ain't preaching that for some of you, because if it's come and gone, some of you's going to get it. And I ain't saying I ain't going to get it neither, but if I get it, I am going to get over it. And I ain't going to be like some of you. How you doing? I'm trying to take a cold. I'm trying to catch the flu. Well, why don't you try to get away from it? What are you doing trying to chase the flu down? I'm trying to catch the flu. I'm trying to catch a stomach bug. Well, I'd say you'll catch him. You see, friends, we're impounded with it day by day. Our family talks this way. The people you work with talks this way. Everybody, most everybody around you talks this way. And you repeat it through the power of repetition, the synopsis in your brain, and before long it's an accepted way of life. And sure enough, you get the flu. I knew it. I knew I did it. Well, congratulations. You and your faith brought it to you. Pay some of this on your prescription bottles. I'm being serious. Put it in your medicine cabinet. He wants me to be in health. But you don't know how bad a shape I am. You're right. But there's one thing I do know. How big my daddy is. And these are his words, not mine. Watch this. I am blessed. Now don't think money, don't think material goods now. Galatians 3:9. So then they which are of faith, be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm blessed to have a church to go to. I'm blessed that God sent a prophet in the last day. I'm blessed to have an ear to hear what the Spirit had to say to the church. I'm blessed to have friends around the world. I'm blessed to rub shoulders with with some of the greatest men of God that had ever walked on the planet Earth. I am blessed to be in contact with prayer warriors. I am blessed to be able to talk to people whose prayers is power with God, and the fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I am blessed to be able to shout with saints. I am blessed to feed on the word. I am blessed to worship. I'm blessed to talk in tongues. I'm blessed to dance in the spirit. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm tired. Man, if I could have preached this when I was about 26 instead of 56. Let me close. This is a good one to end on. Hold on now. I'm blameless. I'm blameless in Him. First Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. I gotta do one more. I'm happy. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. 1 Peter 3:14, but and if you suffer for righteousness sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 4:14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let's stand. I got a whole bunch more. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Brother Jim, if you wouldn't mind, you or Brother Michael, whoever it is that's doing this, if you wouldn't mind putting them back out, I appreciate it. I know it's a lot of work for you, but I believe it'll be a blessing to the saints. Praise God. You believe it, friends? Do you believe that these things will work in your life? Yes. Just keep repeating it over and over and over again. Do we make a new path, Harry? Many of you think, because you don't talk much negative, you think you don't need this. But it's not just what you're saying. It's what's coming from the subconscious as thoughts. Many of you have captured that. And you think you're in control, but it's actually still that inner man, what he really, really thinks. You may have control to hear where you don't say those negative things out, and you say, oh, I'm okay. That's not really for me. That's for everybody else in the church. I kind of doubt that. I'd say, I mean, even there might be just one little tiny, you know, teeny thing that might have been for you. They've sure been for me. And I thank God for it. Now, for whatever reason, I'm sure you've noticed it, for whatever reason, I felt led of the Lord to go with scriptures. Not that we do away with the quotes at all, but for whatever reason, I felt this portion of it anyway, to go with the scriptures. So you'd be able to take these and look at them. And if you need references back, I've got 2 or 3 witnesses for each one. So you can go back, and if Satan really wants to, you know, throw you a fit, say, here's what the word says.
If the Lord leads me to go in the direction of the quotes, Lord have mercy, we'll probably have our own rapture. With all that Brother Branham said about who we are and what we are and all the positive affirmations that are in the message, look out, devil. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Heavenly Father, I pray today that through these simple but powerful promises, they would go deep into our hearts. Lord, I'm sure that as a minister, I've been preaching for many, many years and preaching the message for many years, I'd probably be surprised if I knew how many negative, well-worn paths that were still left in me. And since it's easier for us to go that way, it's more difficult, much more difficult, to blaze a trail for those trillions of cells in our brain, to form a new synopsis, and then our chemicals released and attached to this cell and that cell and that cell. Help them, Lord, to be patient. Help them to not hear this on Sunday morning and then expect by Monday morning for them to be a total different person. Help them to be patient, as with any seed, as with any pass. It does not become worn with the first trek through the woods. Being allowed to go hunting in different parts of the states in Africa, I've hunted on the well-worn paths. But Lord, I've also hunted in the mountains of Montana. And there was knee-deep snow and no paths at all. And walked 10 miles the first day and no paths. 8 miles the next day and no paths. About 8 or 9 miles the next day and no paths. And I know I was so exhausted. My muscles and my legs were so sore. So Lord, I have a little bit of an idea of what it would be in a spiritual sense to look down an avenue of your promises and to see that this well-worn path of 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, whatever it is, it's just so much easier to go down that way. Instead, as we'd say, to walk in knee-deep snow or rough terrain. I walked in the blowdowns of Colorado and different places in the Serengeti of Africa, on the Zambezi River, bordering Zimbabwe and Zambia. Walk through the places, Lord, and see how treacherous they were. The lions, the buffalo, the elephants. But yet, because there was a quest, searching for something, looking for something, Lord, this is the way we feel today. We don't want to walk down the same path and get the same results. Just of negative things and never live an overcoming life. We exist, sure. We exist. I don't want to be an existing Christian. I want to be a victorious one. I don't want to survive this age. I want to make this age suffer because I've been here. I want devils to know I've lived. Hallelujah. I don't want just a good testimony amongst your people. I want one down in hell. I want them to know I have lived. I want them to know there was a preacher, one among many, that would not compromise for fear, for money, for favor. One that brought the word, that lived the word, that preached the word. I don't want to just go through as a pansy preacher. I want to be one that'll make a difference, Lord. So give us strength in our legs, as it were, when they get weary and when we get tired. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I'll ever forget it, that fourth day when I climbed up through the mountain range there in Montana, the very mountain range that you showed Brother Branham the seven peaks and showed him his name. And I was hunting there between the third and fourth one. And I come up to the top of that place that day, wringing wet with sweat, 10, 15 degrees below zero. And yet when I come to the top of that clearing, there was a whole herd of elk. 3 or 4 bulls bugling, fighting.
it was worth the quest. Lord God, on this journey, I'm not looking for elk or deer. I'm looking for the image of a son of God. I don't want to be like Brother Branham. I don't want to be like any other preacher. I just want to match the image that you've got in the family album of me. Because I'm growing into what you took the picture of. So that's what I want. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't want to be bigger than nobody. I don't want to be a greater ministry. You know me, I don't want that. I just want to match that picture. Help me when my legs get weary. When I've trekked through the unbeaten paths of my mind. Give me strength. Give me courage. Help me that I can be what you want me to be. Grant it, Lord. Anybody else in here want to go with me? Now, even though we're journeying together, you're not really marching in my path, nor am I marching in yours. You must get over in your wilderness and beat through the snow or the desert places, whatever it is. Because you don't want to be like me and I don't want to be like you. But we want to match that image of what God's perfect thought. Remember Brother Benjamin said when God thought about Eve? Eve was God's perfect thought of a woman. So then I want to ask you something. When Eve fell, what happened to that thought? Now she no longer could manifest that thought in her body. But if that was a perfect thought, it's still somewhere. Glory to God. That was the first Eve. Well, there's a second Eve on the earth. And she's going to be that perfect thought. When flesh will line up again with that same thought. Anybody here willing to break out of the well-worn path of your mind of defeat and sickness and trouble and unforgiveness and grudges and... Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lay your hand on that person standing by you? Brother David, would you come and offer prayer for the people?
Jesus. Lord, there's no doubt we've all marched down those paths. Day in and day out, Lord, I know we've been guilty. But Lord, if we heard your word, Lord, this weekend, we've heard these affirmations, these promises that you've given to us. Somebody's going to become it. Somebody's going to do it. I pray, Lord, start with me this morning. May I be able to stand, Lord, and believe the whole word of God. Lord, help us, Lord, that we can, Lord, be able to stand upon this promise, Lord. What you said is ours, Lord. I pray, dear God, from this day forward, Lord, when we would leave this building, I pray, Lord, that our minds, our brains would be rewired to the Word of God. Lord, you have given us these, Lord, and somebody's going to become it, Lord, I pray. May you start with this church, Lord. May it overflow, I pray, Lord. Oh, God, we ask, Father, for each one. Lord, may you take those old paths, I pray. Lord, may they never be used again. Lord, as we've seen old home places and how that when no one lives there, they begin to grow up. Lord, may those old paths begin to grow up. May the grass begin to grow up, Lord, through the path. Lord, where you could hardly see there was ever been used. But may there be a new path of our hearts, Lord. May we march upon the promises of the Word of God. Lord, knowing that this path where it takes us, it won't be defeat. Hallelujah. Lord, it won't be down paths of discouragement. It'll be to a new home. Oh, God. Lord, if we're all going and we believe we are, help us, I pray, Lord. May we go there marching on the promises of God. May you grant it, I pray, for everyone this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Everybody now, oh, we're marching
to Zion.
It's beautiful, beautiful Zion. Zion, that beautiful. Let's sing it together now. Oh,
You appreciate his word today? Can we give him a wonderful hand clap of praise? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look, friend, I don't want to just be saved and redeemed and able to forgive and able to do all that. I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. I don't just worship God in church. I worship Him every day of my life. Sometimes walking down through Lowe's, I'm picking up a bottle of glue or some kind of nails or a box of screws or whatever. I worship Him. I'm a worshiper. When I drive through the mountains, going on a trip or wherever, I worship Him every day that I live. We said, what do you do that for? I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. Because that's what I'm going to do when I walk down them streets of gold. I'm getting prepared. Let's sing together before we go.
I saw away one traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, but he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. In palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear them. Palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. The summer sun was shining, the sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed mighty slow.
Now listen.
But he kept pressing on,
pressing on,
for he was going home. And he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance.
Let's sing it together now.
Then palm of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the veil below. He saw that golden city, his everlasting home. And he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has
come. Let's sing it, church.
Then palms of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear.
Everybody,
then palms of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the veil below. He saw that pyramid city, his everlasting home. He shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear.
Glory! Praise the Lord! Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what? I think I'll just go ahead and rejoice like I'm down in heaven, because I figure I am going to be there. Hallelujah. I want to wave them right here today, because I will wave them there. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw him in the evening, that later saying sun was sinking low. He'd overcome all the sarcasm and he'd reach that veil below. Oh, he'd overcome Satan's trials and troubles. That predestinated seed in his heart. It was that attribute of eternity that never would depart. Then palms of victory crowns of glory part. God bless you, saints, go in the fear of God. Of victory crowns of glory. Oh, I shall bear palms.
Victory crown of glory, palms of victory. I shall bear ten palms of victory. Crown of glory, palms of victory. I shall wear. I saw him in the evening. The sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the below. He saw that golden city, his everlasting home. And he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory crown of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. Then palms of victory crown of glory, palms of victory I shall wear.